family serving the Lord. Praise God. I want to begin this morning by the prayer of a man that I believe expresses the desire of many of you that are here today that are born-again Christians. He prayed, "Lord, I want to see you more clearly. I want to follow you more nearly. I want to love you more dearly." I believe that this is the desire of many of you today, certainly some of you today, that are here, and you want a more real and intimate and personal relationship with the Lord. And I want to try to help with that. And if you would please take your Bible, turn to Ruth chapter 3, you know, the historical books, Joshua, Judges, and then comes Ruth just before 1 Samuel, Ruth 3. And I want to look at, in chapter 3, a love story in the Bible, a true love story. You know, we're at that time of year when people have these love stories. And here's a true love story in the Bible. It's all about a Gentile young lady named Ruth who's been brought to faith in the God of Israel. And she has been brought to Israel and lost her husband and her father-in-law, and she's with her mother-in-law, and she has to glean barley, grains of barley wheat, after the reapers in order to mill bread and make bread for her and her mother-in-law. And it's a love story about her and a man of wealth who's a near relative to her family that she married into, a mighty man of wealth. And a lot of people don't know this, but Boaz was actually the son of Rahab, a Gentile lady who got saved, a Canaanite who got saved. And so he could understand a Moabite maiden, a Gentile lady, Ruth, a lovely lady who came, and there was a love story that developed here. And he has the ability, as a relative of Ruth's family, and she was a widow, to buy back the land that they had lost and the possessions that they had lost. And he had that ability. And I believe Boaz had certainly noticed Ruth. He speaks about this. He noticed her godly character. He noticed her decisions that she was making. And he was a man. He no doubt noticed her grace and beauty. And I believe love had sprung up in his heart for Ruth, though he had never talked to her, though he was not in a close relationship with her. He was looking out for her. In fact, he had the ability to take care of Ruth. He had the ability to pay her bills. He had the ability to provide all she needed for her and her mother-in-law for the rest of her life. And he told, he was a very mighty man of wealth, and he told his reapers, "Now, you protect her and you watch out for her and make sure you drop handfuls of grain so that she can pick up and get enough for her that she needs." And so he never expressed this to her, but it was in his heart. Perhaps he thought he was not somebody that she would be attracted to, older than her and so forth. And so he didn't speak about it. But what I love about the Old Testament is that it is full of pictures of the person of Jesus Christ. It is full of snapshots of the Savior and of the love story between Jesus Christ, the Jewish Savior, and a Gentile bride like you and I, who are saved from the non-Jewish people and are brought in as the bride of Jesus Christ. Boaz pictures that love of Christ for the people that need to be saved. And here's this pretty maiden from Moab and this wealthy, powerful bachelor from Bethlehem. And here we have Ruth in chapter 3. Getting counsel from Naomi, her mother-in-law, concerning how she can be properly intimate with a man that she's interested in called Boaz. And I believe Boaz had already been interested in her, but he never expressed it. And I want to relate this to you today especially to those of you that want to be closer to Jesus Christ, your Savior. To those of you that want to be more intimate with your Lord, I want to give you today, and I won't be able to get to all of it, I don't believe, this morning, but perhaps finish it this evening, 5 ways for you to be closer to the Lord Jesus than you are right now. Just like Ruth wanted to be closer to Boaz and even to marry him. Keep in mind, as you look at Ruth 3 and following, that this is happening during the barley harvest. And Boaz is a landowner, and he's bringing in this barley harvest. And though he owns the land, he's out there working with his workers and winnowing the grain. By winnowing the grain, I mean you get the grain and you beat it, and then you throw it up in the air, let the air blow, the wind blow the chaff away, and the grain drops back down. There is a bread revival going on in these days. I know my oldest daughter, she's making bread. She mills her own bread and makes it, and you can store it for a long time, but once you mill it, you have to make it and eat it, you know, within a few days, and it's so healthy, it's so good. We don't have bread like that in the stores, nothing like it. And my second daughter is doing it now. Miss Angela's been doing it. It's exciting what's going on with the bread revival. But this is how Ruth was going to live, by getting bread. And Boaz is there as a landowner, and he is doing this harvest time. And Ruth has come often to glean what is left behind of the reapers so she can get the grain to bring home and make the bread. And you know, that's where Give Us This Day Our Daily Bread came from. It's very healthy. And with this setting in mind, what I would like to do is take Naomi's counsel of how Ruth can get married to Boaz and get close to this man that she wants to get close to, and relate it to your getting close to Jesus and having nothing between your soul and your Savior, which I believe is the desire of many of your hearts, and that you could get closer to the Lord Jesus. And notice what Naomi says here in verse 1 of chapter 3 of Ruth. It says, "Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said unto her," that's Ruth, "my daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee?" Now, what does she want? She wants Ruth to get married. Ruth had been married to her son. Her son, under the chastisement of God, had died. The other brother that was married to another Moabite girl had died. God was chastening them. Naomi's husband, Elimelech, had died. And now she knows that it would be good for Ruth to get married. By the way, it is good. The Bible says not good for man to be alone. Amen. Boaz was alone. He was blessed of God. But he had so much to give. And Ruth had so much that she could be satisfied and at rest if she would find this relationship to Boaz. And can I say that when you have Jesus Christ as your Savior, it satisfies you. I remember what it was like not to be saved, and it was not good. And I know now that I've been saved, if I am not close to and intimate with my Savior, it's not good. There are people that are married and they're not intimate with each other. They're not close to each other. Well, they're being robbed of what marriage is all about. Marriage is all about erasing your aloneness. Marriage is all about the most intimate relationship on the earth. There's nothing between. And perhaps Satan has gotten some of you that are believers away from that intimacy. You're married to the Lord, but you're not intimate with the Lord. And I want to talk to you about how you can be closer to the Lord Jesus based on the counsel of Naomi to her daughter-in-law, Ruth. And this is what she said. She said, "My daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee?" Let me tell you, there's no one that can satisfy you like Jesus. There's nothing that can satisfy you. You can go out there in this world and you're not going to find satisfaction. And so I'm saying you can be closer to the Lord Jesus and so be at rest and to be well in your soul. Remember this morning that Christianity is not a code. Christianity is not a creed. Christianity is not mere conduct. It is not a church. Christianity is Christ. For me to live is Christ. You know, they say there are three rules of real estate, and those three rules are when you buy land or houses, location, location, location. And I've been told there are three great rules of preaching. Preach Christ. Preach Christ. Preach Christ. This Bible is chock full of the living bread of life, the Lord Jesus Christ. Naomi knew what Ruth needed, and she gave her counsel so she could have intimacy with Boaz. She knew that that's what Ruth needed. And God knows what you need this morning. You may be not satisfied. You may be not at rest. You may be not at peace. And God knows that what you need is to be closer to your heavenly bridegroom, the Lord Jesus, or to come to be married to him for the first time in your life. By the way, if you've been married to Christ and you're not willing to come forward and get baptized, you're like a wife that won't wear a wedding ring. If my wife told me, I'm afraid to wear your wedding ring. I'm afraid to wear your wedding ring. I would not be happy with my wife. I'd think she's ashamed of me. If you're really married to Jesus, you ought not to be ashamed to put on the ring and get baptized and come forward. And I'm just saying that Christianity is all about Jesus Christ. And Naomi was here giving her daughter-in-law advice on how she could get to know Boaz intimately and how she could be his bride and cared for by this great man. And boy, we need that today. We need marriages where men love their wives like Christ loved the church. We have such a failure of male leadership today. And we need that to be resurrected again. And Boaz was that kind of man. Naomi knew that, and her advice to Ruth on how to marry Boaz also goes for you who need to marry Christ, but this morning, especially to get closer to the Lord that you are married to. And how does the Apostle Paul put it in Philippians 3:10? He says these words, that I may know him, speaking of Jesus, and the fellowship of his sufferings, and the power of his resurrection, being made conformable unto his death. It's all about getting to know Jesus, getting to know you, getting to know all about you. That's what it's about. Getting to love you, getting to hope that you love me. And nobody loves us like Jesus loves us. So the first way, I want to give you five ways. The first way for you to get closer, listen to me, to your heavenly Boaz is, number one, Naomi says in verse 3, the first part of the verse, she says to Ruth, take a bath, Ruth. She says, wash thyself. You know, that is so important. It's important on a human level. I remember being in church here. I remember being downstairs before we had so many people. We used to meet downstairs because the auditorium was too big for our church at that time before we grew. And we were down there, and I remember we had a fan in the summertime, and we had us all sitting in chairs down there. And I remember seeing people sitting next to this one guy, and they literally were dry heaving during the service. Why? Because he hadn't taken a bath. He hadn't taken a shower. And the fan was blowing across him. That was before your day. And they was blowing across, and they were dry heaving in the church. And I said, we got to have somebody tell this guy to take a bath. And we gave him counsel, but he didn't listen. And so we just suffered and dry heaved through that period of time in the church. I am a survivor of that time. I want to tell you, I stayed with it. But I'm saying, I remember being in high school. I remember being in junior high, riding the bus. I would go to my school from my home, and I remember this attractive blonde girl. I remember her. I won't tell you her name, but I remember her, and I remember my friend Phil. I'll tell you his first name. And we sat together on the bus a lot of the time. We would talk about things, you know, that guys talk about. And this girl would come up to us and talk to us. Attractive girl. But there was a problem. Whenever she came, it smelled. And when she left, it smelled. And he gave her a nickname. I won't say it. Stinky. No, I'm just kidding. That wasn't her nickname. But, you know, I still remember that. Not in a good way. And here Ruth was a woman of character, a woman of beauty, I believe. Somebody that Boaz was interested in. Somehow Naomi must have known that. She's a matchmaker. And she said, the first thing you need if you want to get close to this man is get yourself clean. Be washed. My wife, every night, she'll say, I want to get a little bath. I say, go ahead, get a little bath. Every night, get a little bath. You know, some guys are married to women. They say that once a year. That's not good. But Naomi gave that counsel. Now, this morning, the Bible says in James chapter 4 and verse 8, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. So, you know, the priest, before he went into the holy place to get close to God, he would go to the laver where there was water, and there was a mirror inside the laver, and there was a bowl on top and a bowl in the bottom. You could wash your feet. You could wash your face and hands. You could look in the mirror and see where you're dirty, and he would get clean. And that's exactly what James says to get clean. James says that the word of God is like the mirror in that laver. And the water is like the word of God, listen to me, that shows you where you're dirty. That's why some people don't like preaching. Because it shows them where they're dirty. And they don't want to expose themselves to that mirror. And they don't want to look at that mirror. They're like somebody that takes an idiot light in a car and breaks the light instead of fixing the problem. They want to break the mirror instead. You know, the mirror doesn't lie. And we need the mirror of the Word of God. That's what James says. And then 1 John says that the Word of God cleanses you by showing you the soap and the water that can wash away the filth. And it says in 1 John chapter 1 that what cleanses you and what washes away that filth in your life is the blood of Jesus Christ. That blood can make you clean. That's why it says that we need to be freshly cleansed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you being freshly cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ? It says in 1 John chapter 1, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That means that we are to confess our sins. The word homologeo means to say the same thing that God says about your sin. Oh, not just, Lord, if I've done something wrong, forgive me. That won't get it. If I say that to my wife, it never works. I did something wrong. If I did something wrong, forgive me. She said, you did this wrong. this is the way it is with the Lord. You can't be close to the Lord and not be specific and say, I got angry with that person, I spoke a bad word, I said something wrong, or I had a hateful thought, or a jealous thought, or a prideful thought, or a lustful thought. Whatever that is. I rob God by not giving him tithes and offerings. Lord, I admit my sin. Would you forgive me? And you know what God has called clean through the blood, don't you call unclean? Because he said he's faithful and just to forgive you when you confess and to cleanse you. Why? We need that cleansing with the word and with the blood so that you can be close to God. Now, some of you, I believe your prayers are just bouncing up and bouncing down, and you're saying, I wish I had more answers to prayer. I wish God was close and personal with me. Well, Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 15 and 16 talks about that. It says, and when ye spread forth your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Now, you know what that's talking about. People pray and they go like this, piously. And nothing wrong with spreading forth your hands and praying to God. But he said, when you're spreading forth your hands, I'm going to hide my eyes from your prayer. And he says here in Isaiah, he says, yea, when ye make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Wash you. Make you clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil. One wife said about her husband, he's good at confessing but not forsaking the sin. God says get cleansed and then stay away from that which causes you to get into it again and again. He says cease from doing evil. I want to get closer to God. If I want to get closer to God, cleanliness is next to godliness, and therefore I want to get clean. I want to clean my hands. I want to clean my feet. How many of you ever wash your feet? I want to get my heart clean, because you could be clean on the outside and dirty on the inside, but God sees into your heart, and God will not have that fellowship. Can you imagine this lovely maid from Midian? Or Moab, going up to this godly bachelor from Bethlehem. He'd been no doubt looking for an opportunity to get closer to her. And she comes up to get next to him, like Naomi said. And she's sweaty. She's dirty. She's smelly. She hasn't even taken time to get a bath. I don't think that would be a good idea. And it's not a good idea for you if you want to get closer to Jesus. You have to be cleansed by the truth of the Word of God that washes you and shows you your sin, and the blood of Jesus Christ that upon confession cleanses you. That's why the Bible says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loves the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. Naomi says, well, she didn't say it, but I knew she thought it. I believe she thought it. Boaz, he loves you. He really is looking for it, but he doesn't think that you would want him. So you need to do this. And she gives her this counsel. But to do this, you'd ruin it all if you don't cleanse yourself. And let me say this, if you want to get close to Christ, and Christianity is all about Christ, then you need to cleanse yourself. That's the first of the five ways for you to get clean. Be freshly cleansed. By the way, yesterday's shower will not do for today. Yesterday's bath will not do for today. I don't care whether you like baths or showers or both. You need it fresh. You need to keep on getting cleansed in order to stay close to the Lord. And that is why many people are cleansed for a while and get close for a while and then they backslide, because they allow crud and filth and sweat to build up before they get washed. Don't do that. Stay close. Stay close. There's a second way for you to be closer to the Lord, and that is not only be freshly cleansed. Listen, be fragrantly consecrated. Look with me at Ruth chapter 3, letter B, the second part of the verse. Naomi says, next, and anoint thee. Naomi is saying to Ruth when she says, after you get a bath, Ruth, I want you to put on some good perfume. Ruth, put on some good perfume. Now, ladies, you know what makes you nice to be near you, don't you? You know you have to put on some perfume. And that's a good idea if you want to catch a man. I think some men fall in love with, name a perfume. They fall in love with the perfume. I remember when I was a young man, I remember in Bible college, even before Bible college, I remember in high school, I liked a particular perfume. It was something that just attracted me. I liked that perfume. I'd smelled it. And I remember a girl, when I went to Bible college, she was wearing that perfume. And she came by and I was like, and, you know, it wasn't long. I asked her out and she became a girlfriend. And she almost distracted me from getting my wife. She was up with that perfume. I'm just saying that perfume is a good idea. And by the way, when you come near the Lord, you need to come to him with a sweet smell. You need to have a sweet aroma. Jesus is telling you something here. If you want to get close to him, now it's not just enough for you to be clean. You also need to get on a sweet smell, an aroma. And not only brides were anointed for this purpose, but priests had to be anointed to serve and get near to God for their service for the Lord. In fact, you read in a love poem, and if I were to tell you a love poem in the Bible, that the Song of Solomon is a love poem in the Bible. And in chapter 1, verse 14, the lover says to his beloved, my beloved is unto me as a cluster of camphor in the vineyards of En-Gedi. And then he says in chapter 4 of this love poem, verse 14, spikenard and saffron, calamus and cinnamon, with all the trees of frankincense, myrrh and aloes, with all the chief spices. What's he saying? She's got a wonderful perfume. She's got a smell that I really like. It's not really her smell. It's the perfume. And what they would do, they didn't have Walgreens back then. You know, you could buy perfume or wherever you would get it. They didn't have that. So they would go out in the field and get all these spices and pick them. And then they would cut them up and they would make them into a compound of their own particular scent. And this girl, this was her scent. She was no fool. She had on a nice smell. And Solomon was in love with her. He loved that smell. She had her own smell. It's a good idea to have your own perfume. I know my wife has her own perfume and it's a delicious smell. Wonderful. I'm just saying that every girl ought to have that, and we as the bride of Christ, if we want to get closer to the Lord, we have to realize that we need to anoint ourselves with perfume. Now, even men wear perfume. I wear perfume. It's men's cologne, right? And my daughters always tell me, please, you're not subtle, Dad. You spray on way too much. I like... It's like, a little more subtle, would you? But anyway, we think about getting closer to the Lord, and you say, Pastor, if I'm cleansed by God's word and by Christ's blood, then what gives me that anointed perfume fragrance that the Lord likes? Well, the answer is in the Word of God. It is the anointing of the Holy Spirit. 1 John chapter 2, verse 27 says these words, "But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him." So what is he saying? He's saying the Holy Spirit is given to you after you're washed by the Word of God and the blood of Jesus. You receive a permanent anointing with the permanent indwelling Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit teaches you how to live. The Holy Spirit leads you. The Holy Spirit, listen to me, wants to fill you with the beautiful fragrance of love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. He wants that fruit of the Spirit to be in your life. I had a professor in Bible college. His name was Rembert Bird Carter. He was a PhD at the University of Edinburgh. He taught us Baptist foundations. He taught us Baptist history. His lectures on great men of God like Charles Spurgeon, we used to go there even when we weren't in his class. And he was kind of like that guy in college that taught Shakespeare where you were. And we would just go there to listen to him. And he said something to me that hit me and to us as students. He said, "I want to apologize to you students." He said, "In my day when I went to college, we had great men of God. And when they came into the room, you could smell Christ. You could see Christ. And we were in the amazing presence of the Lord." He said, "You don't have that today with the men in this college and with us." He said, "I want to apologize to you students." And, you know, God wants that smell for you to get close to him. The smell that comes from the Holy Spirit filling your personality. Now listen up here very carefully. Listen up. God wants that in your life, the smell of the Holy Spirit. And he will want you close to him. You know, you smell good perfume, you want to smell the hair and all the rest of it. Don't do that unless you're married, though. Otherwise, it's a 6-inch rule, amen. But you want to get close. You want to run your fingers through the hair and smell the hair. And Jesus wants to get close to his bride. But if she's stinky, dirty, smelly, if she has no fragrance that is sweet and desirable, there's no intimacy, there's no mood of intimacy that is being set. I'm saying today, I'm preaching to you a message to help you to get closer to the Lord Jesus Christ, where he's real to you, where he's more wonderful to you than any earthly bridegroom. And number one, you need to be, listen, freshly cleansed all the time. You need to be fragrantly consecrated to the Lord. And one more thing I want to say this morning, and I'll finish tonight. You need to be fitly clothed. Naomi counseled Ruth, and she said, "And put thy raiment upon thee." Put thy raiment upon thee. Now keep in mind, Naomi knew that her daughter-in-law was a young widow. And as a young widow, she had worn the clothes of mourning that widows would wear, to show that they were in mourning. I think of Charlie Kirk and his wife and how she's been in mourning. And back in those days, they would wear a certain kind of clothes to indicate that they're in mourning at the great loss. And that's the way Ruth dressed. And then she also had to go to work, didn't she? And so when she went to work, she had to wear the clothes of a worker in the field and had stains on that and so forth. And that's the way she was living. She wasn't thinking of herself as attractive, though I believe that Boaz was drawn to her and had his eyes on her. And Ruth, she was being told by Naomi, listen, get rid of the widow's clothes. I know you mourn for my son, but get rid of that now. Get rid of the field hand clothes. It's nighttime and you need to go to this man and you need to put on some nice, modest dress that's beautiful. It's beautiful to see a woman in a modest dress. We have so many harlots today that think they take off their clothes and show their nakedness, their thighs and their top and all the rest, and show their nakedness. And yes, they may attract men like dog defecation attracts flies. But my friends, that's not what God wants. He wants the beautiful, modest garments of a modest dress or skirt on a lady. And the right kind of man would be attracted to that. She says, put thy raiment upon thee. And this was something that shows that I'm not projecting mourning right now. I am not projecting right now work. I am projecting beauty and happiness and joy that I could bring into your life. And so it says in Isaiah chapter 61, verses 1 through 3, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. Had Ruth been brokenhearted by the loss of her husband? Yes. Ruth had been brokenhearted. And it says to proclaim liberty to the captive. Ruth had been captive to sin, sorrow, and death. And then he says, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. This poor broken-hearted young woman needed some real comfort. Perhaps you need some comfort. You're not getting the comfort from people around you. You're not getting the comfort from social media. You're not getting the comfort from food. You're not getting the comfort from some kind of prescription drugs or drugs. He says, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint them that mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Now, Naomi is saying, Ruth, this is the way to dress up. Put off your ashes of sorrow and grief and mourning. God says to this Cinderella, I'm going to have you put off your sad sack cinder ashes clothes and put on a beautiful ball gown to meet your prince. God says that, like Ruth, you are going to put off your mourning clothes because he will give you joyful garments. By the way, 1 John is a book about intimacy with God. And what does he say? I write about intimacy to God that your what? Your joy may be full. Today, your joy has not been full. But I'm telling you today, there's a way for you to put off your ashes, your mourning, and have joy, and put on the garment of joy, and have love and joy and peace, to be clothed with it by getting closer to the Lord in your life. God says, I'm going to give you a garment of beauty for your ashes. God says that instead of a spirit of heaviness and those kind of clothes, I'm going to give you garments that befit your praising God. By the way, befit your praising God. When you're walking close to Jesus, you're full of praise to God. You see God in different things. I have people in the church, when they're walking with the Lord, they'll share with me, God's doing this, God's doing that. And they're praising God. They're thanking God. Why? Because they're wearing the garment of praise. instead of the mourning spirit and the sad spirit of being at a distance from the Lord. And I believe that is so important to have those garments on. God says that you can get closer to the Lord by coming before Him, listen to me, with beauty, joy, and praise. But you might say, Pastor, where do I buy those kind of clothes? By the way, all the clothes I have on, my wife gets me for very cheap. When I first got married to my wife, I was accused of being John the Baptist and dressing like John the Baptist at college. And I washed my own clothes, and I didn't do a good job. And I was ready for a wife, and she came with a trunk full of clothes, and she had scripture on it about pouring God's blessing. And what a blessing that was. Well, when I got married to Christ, He gave me these kind of clothes. And it says in Isaiah 61, verse 10, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for He hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. Can I say something this morning to you that are here and are not married to Christ yet at all? That He wants to take your John the Baptist or whatever clothes you have on. He wants to take your self-righteous garments from you because they're full of holes. And He wants to give you the garment of His perfect righteousness. He went to that cross, and all the sins of the world were charged to His account, and He paid for all of those sins. And then the moment you recognize, listen to me, that you can't save yourself, that you're not good enough to stand before God, that you in fact need to die and go to hell to pay for your sin, and you go to Christ and you say, Lord, I need your salvation. I trust you and what you've done. He takes all your sin from you and He gives you His perfect clothing of perfect righteousness. So God can't see the nakedness. God can't see the sin. God just sees the perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ. If you're not saved, this is your invitation this morning to say, God, I want to get rid of my self-righteousness. I am no good in your sight, and I want to receive the free gift of new clothing of Jesus Christ. Now, I also want to say, if you're a believer, perhaps you've been looking at yourself and your sin and your failure, and you need to go from all the self-persecution that you've been doing to start praising the Savior. And take some of the complaining away from your prayer life and put more praising and thanking God in your prayer life for the great gift that He gives you. And the Lord will see that beautiful dress on you of praise and thanksgiving and joy and delight. And He will say, that's a beautiful dress. Come near to me. I want you close to me. And that's what you need. And so today, the Bible says, if you want to be close to the Lord, are you being freshly cleansed by the Word and the blood? Are you fragrantly consecrated by the perfume of the Holy Spirit and His fruit filling your life? And are you fitly clothed with the garments of praise, of joy, that the Lord gives you freely by His grace? I'm going to ask that we take a moment and bow and close in prayer this morning. Every head bowed, I ask that counselors come and meet me up here and be to my left. And I'm going to ask you this morning, number one, have you ever married Christ? Have you ever given up your own way The Bible says you need to forsake your way to get to heaven by being good and trying to earn it. And have you ever given that up and received the free gift of eternal life? If you know that you have, and therefore you're 100% sure with a Bible reason that you're going to heaven, would you raise your right hand? Hold it up. Let me see it. Amen. Amen. I see it. All right. You may put it down. Thank you for that. Now, you raised your right hand, but some of you didn't raise your hand because you can't say for sure that you're going to heaven because you don't really have the Bible reason that we've been talking about, that Naomi counseled Ruth to get married to Boaz. But you say, preacher, I'd like to know I'm married to Christ and I'm going to heaven. I'd like prayer and help with that. Without embarrassing you, with every head bowed, nobody looking around but me, would you just raise your right hand and say, Pastor, I need prayer for that. I couldn't raise my hand. I see that hand in the back. Thank you, sir. You may put it down. Anybody else? I need this, Pastor. I need this in my life. All right, another young person. This time a young person raised their hand. You may put that down. One more time, anybody else, before I complete my invitation. This is a couple adult ladies raise their hand in addition, and I see those hands, and I will pray for you. Amen and amen. Now listen, if you raised your hand the second time, would you just look at me? Everybody else keep looking down and praying, but just those that raised their hand, I want to talk to you just for one brief moment. And I want to say to you that the Lord Jesus came here to give you all the things that I just talked about. And this morning, he brought you here to this service, I believe, to call you to say, here is my gift of a wedding garment. Here is my gift of my intimacy with you. If you would say, I do accept it. You say, what do I give to him? Nothing. You come as you are, and he cleanses you. You come stinky, smelly with yourself, and he cleanses you. It's a free gift. And the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead after he died for our sins, then you'll be saved. That moment. So I'm going to ask, would you just bow your head once more and tell the Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus, I'm receiving you as my Savior by faith. I'm receiving your free gift of a new dress to cover me. I'm receiving your blood to cleanse me. Thank you, Lord. And the Bible says, whoever does that, you're saved. You're saved. And if you're saved, when I give the invitation, I'd like to invite you to come and shake my hand and let me know, and I'll have someone pray with you. Now, there are some of you that are here, you've already been saved, but you say, Pastor, I need one or more of these things in my life to get closer to the Lord. And I want that today. Would you pray for me? I'm already saved, but I need one or more of the things that you preached about. Would you pray for me? Would you raise your right hand? Just hold it up. I'll see it, and I'll pray for you. Amen. Amen. Many of you. Amen. Amen. Thank God. All right, I'm going to ask that we stand together. We're going to have prayer in just a moment for these things, but I'm going to ask as the instruments are played, and as I mentioned to you, the invitation is given, some are coming. Would you come? Come to the altar if you want to get closer to the Lord and ask him. And would you come? And if you raise your hand to get saved, to get married to Christ, would you come and shake my hand and say, Pastor, I called upon the Lord to save me today, and I'll have you pray with somebody. You come on. Amen. Just step right here with these guys. Amen. Good to see you. I'm going to have someone pray with you, okay? Okay, you got him? You going with him? All right. Jesse. Amen, brother. He came forward to get saved, so get to know him. Amen. All right, talk to him. He'll talk to you. He's a deacon in the church. With him. Yeah, just go with him. Amen, Dad. Amen. Hey, you can hear him. And amen.
Everyone has permission.
All right. And God, for those that are coming forward to say that they're trusting Jesus for salvation, others, they want to get closer to the Lord. But listen to me. Have you been saved and you're not willing to wear the wedding ring? Have you been saved and you're ashamed of Jesus? You need to come and say, I'm willing to get baptized. I'm saved. I know it. I know Christ died for me. He was willing to be baptized with blood and go to death and go into the grave. I should be willing to go under the water and come back up again. Don't be afraid. You come and you take that stand. By the way, if you've been saved and baptized and you want to be a member of the church, maybe you've been attending, if you come, I'll have someone pray with you, talk to you, get that ball started so that you could be part of the church. The invitation is here for those purposes this morning, and we're going to have prayer as I promised, and then I'll have you seated. Let's pray together. Our Father and our God, we thank you this morning that the still small voice of the Holy Spirit speaks through the Word of God. Lord, we know the din and the noise of the world has drowned out that voice in many people, and we pray that you'd forgive us and help us to draw near. Father, I pray for those that need to be saved, that they would be saved today by saying, I do to Jesus in faith. Those that need to be baptized, they do that. Those that need to join the church, Lord, they do that. God, I pray that you bless each decision and help us to get nearer Jesus. And even to have some come back tonight to get the rest of the message. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may be seated for a moment. All right. We have two young ladies here. I want to mention Myla Kazmarek. Which one are you, Myla? Yes, Myla, raise your hand, honey. All right, she's trusted Christ as her Savior. Amen. Come forward. Amen. I know. And then next is Delilah. All right, Delilah. Where does Delilah live? No.
You're from Miss Diane's road, I think. No, Brother Matt.
Are you on Brother Matt's bus?
She's from Miss Diane's.
You're from Bangor. I know her. I know where she is. I know the address, 598. All right, amen. These two came, and praise the Lord for them. And I guess she needs a permission slip, Delilah, right? All right, so we need to get that. Amen and amen. Let's see here. Wonderful. Praise God for that. Now, we are still doing some counseling, so we want to do that counseling, and then we want to work with getting the pumpkins out. Amen. So we'll be doing that in just a moment. But we're doing some counseling now, and I want to just sing our song, Victory in Jesus. So let's do that. Amen. Hang on. I am very glad to hear Zach is here today. He's come forward, trusted the Lord, and he's going to get baptized at this time. Amen and amen. That is wonderful. So let's sing that song. I heard an old story, how a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood atoning. Then I repented of my sin and won that victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. Praise God! He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. All right, I have a young lady. The Children's Church is coming in, so don't mind them. They're just coming in for the pumpkins. I have a young lady here named Bella McAlinas. Is Hannah your mother? Is she your aunt? Okay, I remember Hannah was a bus kid of mine. Bella McAlinas, raise your hand, Bella. And Bella, have you trusted Jesus as your Savior this morning? Becca Mountain Lewis. Okay, yeah, she has trusted the Lord as her Savior, so thank God for that. Bella, wonderful. All right, praise God for that. Amen and amen. All right, we're going to have a baptism, but we're also going to, while we're waiting, we're going to give away some candy and some pumpkins. So, first of all, let me know, workers, bus captains, soul winners, let me know, Sunday school teachers, who gets the candy? Who did really good today? Who? I'm going to give Miss McAloonis, is that how I say it? Okay, I'm going to give Bella first pick of candy. Come on up, Bella, and you can pick out whatever you want. There are nerds here, and you look that over, and you decide and just get yourself some candy. All right, amen. Good girl. All right, anybody else? You have somebody. Brother Eric Zukowski.
The girl in the red hair right there.
The girl in the red hair? Rachel, right? Rachel? All right, Rachel. You pick out whatever you want, Rachel. You get it. Amen. Teenager from the teen Sunday school class. All right. Very good. All right. Somebody else, raise your hand. Kids, not you kids. I'm talking about workers. They're going to discern you kids. Matt? Oh, Jesse.
Celeste.
All right. Amen. Good girl, Celeste. All right, she's in the Christian school. Now, these right here, they're for pastor. They're M&Ms. I like these. So, sorry. No, I'm just kidding. They're peanut butter M&Ms. They melt in your mouth and not in your hand. All right, Diane Payone. Who? Anna Banana? Do you like M&Ms, Anna? All right. You sure? All right, Anna Banana. All right, here we go. Amen and amen. That's good. Wonderful. All right. Wonderful. Praise God. We're going to have pumpkins. Pumpkins. All right, Miss Alicia, you ready to help me? Anybody?
Well, the kids. Start with the kids.
Okay. All right. All right, all right, we're going to have a baptism. Amen. Saved by the baptism. All right, let's watch this baptism.
Praise God. Praise God, man.